It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, including Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Tom McBride, Cressa, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law, and John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching. John, can you give us a rundown on who else we have on the air today, please?
Our first guest is Kendall Holbrook, CEO of Dev Technology Group. Then we'll talk with Srini Bayaredi, founder and CEO of Navitas Business Consulting. Our third guest is Bob Schneider, executive director of OmniRide. And we'll conclude with Andy Burness, president of Burness.
Let's get to know our first guest, Kendall Holbrook, CEO of Dev Technology Group. Kendall, what is Dev Technology Group?
Dev Technology is a federal government IT contractor.
How large or how small is this organization?
Dev is about 250 people.
All righty. Where are you from originally?
I'm from New Jersey.
New Jersey. And how many brothers and sisters you got?
I have one biological brother and two stepbrothers, one stepsister.
It sounds like a complicated family here. All right. In terms of your biological brother, where are you in the pecking order?
I'm 9 years older than him.
Okay. And let's see. Tom, what do you got? What are you thinking?
Hi, Kendall. What was your first real job that you can...
So my first real job, I was about 12 years old, and I worked as the after-school receptionist for my private high school and middle school.
The after-school receptionist, that is a remarkable gig to get. How long did you do that for?
About 6 years.
6 years as the receptionist. Was that something you signed up to do, or did you find yourself sort of asked to do it? How did you end up with that?
So
big responsibility for a 12-year-old.
It was a big responsibility, and it was a very complicated phone system. But I was asked to do it, if I would be interested in doing it in the fall, because the regular receptionist wasn't available to stay between like 3 and 5 p.m.
And then you ended up having that and keeping that for 6 years. Was that something where they just asked you each year, hey, do you want to do it again?
Yeah, it was just assumed that I would just stick around.
So now as the CEO of Dev Technologies, is there something you can look back to at that stage and say that that was what was the one key thing you learned as a receptionist in your youth?
So as you know, receptionists tend to be gatekeepers. They tend to be the one who knows about the organization, knows all the players. And I think as CEO, that's important as well. I know the players within the organization and outside of the organization.
And you were viewed as somebody who was responsible at an early age.
Definitely.
This responsibility was thrust upon you, or did you embrace this on your own free will? Where did that come from?
So I embraced it. I was not only the oldest sibling, but I was also the oldest of all of my grandparents' grandchildren. So I was always the most responsible.
Keep on going, Tom.
Grandparents, what role, we were talking in the green room earlier about different family members' influences on us, on our guests today. Talk to us a little bit about your grandparents.
So my mom and I went to live with my grandparents when she divorced my father when I was a baby. So I've always known my grandparents. We lived in the home together with them for about 8 years. So they had a definite impact on my upbringing.
So what did you learn from your grandfather?
So what I learned from my grandfather was having a approach to work that was always hard, giving it your all, making sure that we could take care of the family, right? The family always came first with my grandfather. My grandmother also worked, but she also was the first home in the afternoon. So she was always there to greet me and my mom when my mom came home from work. So she... She also took care of the entire community. She was the one where anyone could go to for help, for food, for money.
So what personal values did you pick up from your grandparents?
That hard work, that work ethic, the foundation of culture, the ability to be a part of a community, all came from my grandparents.
So how does that show up at Dev Technology?
Dev, I often told people that when I walked into Dev, I knew I was home. That very first day, I felt extremely comfortable because I got that immediate family vibe, that community vibe, that collaborative vibe that I grew up enjoying.
So what do your grandparents think about you being the CEO of a Washington, D.C. technology company?
So unfortunately, we lost my grandmother several years ago, but my grandfather is still alive, 93 mm-hmm. years old. And, you know, I think we're both each other's favorite person in the world. I tell all my mom and my other his other grandkids that I am the favorite. So he certainly is proud of me. We talk often.
Has he been to your office?
He hasn't been to my office, but I actually built a new house a year and a half ago. And my grandfather, who doesn't like to travel anymore, traveled down from New Jersey to come and spend Christmas with us this past Christmas.
What did your grandfather think of? How does he feel about your success?
Definitely proud.
Why?
Definitely proud.
Why? Proud of what?
Because they were a working class family. Mm-hmm. My mom did go to college, but didn't finish.
And
you know, my grandparents never had the opportunity.
Brian, what are you thinking?
You talked about how you exceeded in school, and did you exceed in school because you thought that your family expected it of you? Was that the real reason why?
Definitely, family expected it. That it was that hard work, that work ethic.
And what subjects did you gravitate to in school?
I gravitated towards math and science.
Okay, and why math and science? Why were math and science such a focus for you?
I did really well, and they were easier for me. They came easy to me.
Okay, but you're now a CEO of a company, and you have to deal with obviously the analytics side, the numbers side of your job. But you also have to deal with the management side, which it requires some type of social acumen. How did you develop that in your younger years?
So I mentioned that my grandparents were very integral in our community growing up. That's where it started. It then continued throughout, you know, my growing up. I was on team sports, volleyball and lacrosse. When I went to college, I joined groups and teams. I just have always been a part of a team.
Have you been one of the team leaders on these teams that you were involved in?
Yes, definitely.
And you think that you brought something from that experience to your current position now?
Yes. I mean, being able to lead a team is important. You know, I'm always the one who speaks their mind, gives their opinion, throws out ideas. So I do want the team's input and team help, and I like to work in a team, but I'm also not afraid to kind of put myself out there.
Give us an example of how your grandparents were integrated into the community and how they brought you into it. As a kid, give me a specific example.
Sure. So my grandfather was actually the head janitor at the local elementary school. It was about three blocks away from our house. So he always, you know, essentially outside of the principal, he was the one that opened the school and had all the keys, and everyone knew him. And he was such a nice man, such a good man, that all the teachers always sought him out and wanted to talk to him. So that's probably the one of the most specific examples, the one that's imprinted on me.
When you were in school, a nun told you something about your grandfather. What was it?
Yes, he did. Sister Carlotta LaRocca was the principal of my Catholic school. She said that my grandfather was the one person that she's met that was the closest to living the life of Jesus.
What did she mean by that?
He's a good man. He's a giving man. He's a hardworking man. He didn't necessarily have, you know, wasn't going to church every day. That wasn't it. It was about his spirit.
He was a janitor, though.
He was a good man.
Uh-huh. And how did that make you feel when the nun said that?
She said what I always knew and thought. I told you he's my favorite person in the world, and that's why. He's just a caring, great man.
How do you honor him today?
My grandfather, so when he turned 90, we actually did a big family dinner. So I took the lead on the decorating and pulling all the pictures together. And I got his picture from when he was in the military. And I talked to my kids about him, right? I want my kids to understand what his life experience was. It's very different. And they won't have a chance to meet someone else that has that much history and experience.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, there's a lot of skill sets that go into that, right? Consistency, just showing up, being there, sort of selflessness, all of those things. As a leader of your own organization, what would you say is the top of mind characteristic of leadership that you are constantly thinking about?
It is doing what I say I'm going to do. You know, always being the one that if you heard it from me, you can trust that it will happen. I have to be there for the people, for the people of the company, for our clients, for anyone who I interact with on a regular basis.
You sound like your grandmother who you told us was the person that everybody could come to.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
So I do orientation with every single employee. I meet every employee, and one of the things that I show in that orientation is an upside-down org chart, which actually our founder started. And in that org chart, I'm the last person I talk about. I'm on the bottom, on the absolute bottom, and what I say is I take care of everything everyone needs in this organization. If there's a problem, I try to help bring a solution and support the team.
You have 250 people. You're telling me that you do the orientation for each person?
Yes.
Why do you spend your time doing that?
I just do. It's just important.
Because you're trying to shape the culture of the organization?
Yes, trying to keep the culture. Because with growth, culture tends to degrade over time. So you have to just keep yourself engaged in meeting every employee and letting them know what's important to the organization.
Does your grandfather know that?
I don't know that I've actually told him that, but I will.
You may want to let him know how you're like your grandmother. What's the website address of this organization called Dev Technology Group?
DevTechnology.com.
How do you spell that?
DevTechnology.com.
We've been speaking with Kendall Holbrook, CEO of Dev Technology Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name and organization is?
Gal Bornstein with the Bornstein Group.
And Gal, what business are you in? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
We're an advertising, marketing, and public relations firm in the Washington, D.C. area.
And where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in Israel.
And how young were you when this marketing and communications thing began showing up in your blood?
My first gig was at 12 when I started a high school newspaper.
Tell us a little bit about that. Whose idea was it and what was it all about?
It was all about actually rebelling against dogma. The newspaper was started because I felt the teachers were not giving the opportunity for free speech to students. So I decided to start a newspaper, and the newspaper was distributed outside the school grounds.
So you understood the power of communication, the power of the press.
Absolutely.
And you have the strength and conviction. And what's that have to do with building your business?
It has everything to do with it. An agency essentially is hired to break dogmas and to help companies come up with a unique value proposition, get communicated outside what they already know or being communicated as. And what we do essentially is help companies come up with a unique persona that people can relate to.
So you're comfortable taking on difficult issues, and when a client's got something difficult to do, you're not going to run from it. I mean, you demonstrated that as a kid back in Israel.
In fact, that is the whole proposition. As General Patton used to say, if everybody thinks alike, nobody really stinky.
Mm-hmm. So you're interested in helping people communicate their different thoughts. That's really the business you're in, isn't it?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And how large or how small is your organization?
We're a boutique agency firm dealing with CEOs, so we have 20 employees.
Mm-hmm. And what's the website address of the organization?
It is bornsteingroup.com, bornsteingroup.com.
And let me have the spelling of that.
BORENSTEINGROUP.com.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble. I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Srini Bahireddy, founder and CEO of Navitas Business Consulting. What is Navitas Business Consulting?
We are IT systems integrators.
Uh-huh. How large or small are you guys?
We are about 120 employees strong.
That's a nice size organization. How did you get a job with this company?
I founded Navitas 10 years ago.
You founded the company. Where are you from originally?
I'm from India.
You're from India. And how young were you when you came to the United States?
I'm about 21 years. I just finished my college.
Uh-huh. So you came, and did you come here with your family or did you come alone?
I came alone on a work visa.
So, you came alone. I guess, you know, English is the first language in India and the United States. There really wasn't any difference. It was probably pretty easy to assimilate into the United States.
That's true, and we already
what do you
have.
Mean that's true. There's a huge difference here. You're making light of it. Yeah, Tom.
Being humble.
Yes, he is.
So, what was your biggest fear at that stage?
What is out there for me?
Has it fit? Was it the fear of failure of the pursuit in the employment?
Curiosity factor, but I'm thriving for that unknown.
Did you allow yourself to think and consider the repercussions of coming back as a, quote, failure, having not done what you set out to do?
I was not thinking about that because I've done a fair research and I know what I'm going to do.
Where'd the confidence come to just say, I wasn't even thinking about failure?
I think it came from my prior experience, a little bit from my schooling and my parents.
Mm. Well, people have businesses that start that fail all the time. Where was the rose-colored glasses, mom or dad? Or
a combination of both. So I think it's my dad where I got the tenacity and strength. And
in what way?
It's okay to fail is something that when I growing up in at home.
Did you see your dad fail at something?
A couple of instances where it made an indelible impression in my mind, but. But in general, I go with him at his office, and I see people look at him as a strong, hardworking person. So it just made an impression on me.
Mm-hmm. Brian, what do you think of him?
Earlier in the green room, you talked a bit about what motivated you back when you were in India in school, and that you felt driven in school. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. I was always an honor student back mm-hmm. in school, and I was a school people leader, which is you represent the school. And that actually helped me build the team when we were going out and competing against other schools. And that really gave me the knowledge and
exposure. What do you mean a school pupil leader? What are you talking about? What was that?
So like? They pick people who are economically strong and on a roll, and it's a combination of your sports and mm-hmm. it's overall personality. So there's a voting going on, and then you if you're elected, then you get to lead a lot of aspects in the school.
So you have to get elected.
Yes.
How do you get elected?
Your fellow students.
So why did the fellow students select you to be the leader?
I think there are a lot of my friends think I'm inspiring, and I am honest.
This honest and inspiring, does that have anything to do with your ability to start and build Navitas Business Consulting?
I think that's definitely 100%. So I always believe in leading by example, and I make sure I'm along with my team, rolling up my sleeves and sitting there.
Brian, what else do you think?
What skill during this era that we're talking about here, your school days, you thought was most helpful in your future endeavors at that point in time to build a business?
So
was
I think
teams it, was the team orientation.
Team, exactly. So there are other people who are similar in terms of technology, but I think I have something different from them is being compassionate, listening to people, and I think I did a good job back then, and I'm doing the same thing and understanding the strengths and weaknesses of people, and to empower them.
And you actually built a team and started a business even in high school back in India, correct?
Right. I've got a couple of my friends, close friends. I got them under me, and then they are, believe it or not, right now still working with me in different businesses. So that's...
Wait. When you were 17, how old are you now?
I'm 44.
44. So when you were 17, you started a business in school in Indy. You're telling me you're still working with some of those folks?
Absolutely. So they're my all the people I worked with, they're always with me. As I grow, they're also growing. It's a camaraderie. We really enjoy the company.
Wait a minute. It's a camaraderie. We really enjoy the company. So you really do understand where people fit and where they can succeed. And also, it sounds to me like people really trust you.
I guess so.
John?
You mentioned compassion and empathy. Where did that come from?
From my mom. And so growing up, she used to be with me, getting me homework and all that. And it's those moments I always cherish and remember, and to use the same skills.
What moments do you cherish? What are you talking about?
So when I'm down, she comes in and says, that's okay, especially academics, because India is very big in academics. If I get second grade instead of first rank, she will sit there and say, that's okay, then you're going to come back, bounce back.
You feel loved and supported by your mother.
Right.
What's that have to do with how you've built this organization of 120 people?
I think I inculcate the same thing in them. I make sure the employees feel that I'm empowering them with what they can do.
John?
So what sacrifices did your parents make to send you here? Were they rich?
They're not. They are working class, and they have to, among all, financial. But then also they have to cut short some of their personal goals to see me at the helm.
So what do they think about your success today?
There's always a feedback loop here. I always talk to my parents more frequently, and they're proud.
And how are you paying that forward?
And I actually go back to the school where I studied, and I had a small seminar to assemble and recognize my principal, who was one of my role models, and I always...
Wait. You went back to the school that you went to. How recently was that?
Was about 3 years back.
And what'd you do?
I went there and I contributed to the labs, and I did some...
You made a financial contribution.
Right.
Why'd you do that?
Because it's a sense of giving. I thought I learned a lot from there, from my principal, and she was actually my role model besides my parents, so I wanted to give.
Why was she your role model?
She was an Australian. She came to my hometown, and she felt that there's a need to establish a school.
Uh-huh.
And she ended up staying there and living there, and she just died last year.
And what did you learn from her that has anything to do with building a business?
It's if you believe in something and you be compassionate, show the empathy, and focus on what you're doing, results will automatically follow.
What part of her shows up at Navitas Business Consulting?
Almost every day. I mean, when I see, I'm always mingled with the team every day, whether it is in proposal writing or delivery or anything, and I feel like I should make them feel always I'm part of their, I'm there for them if they need any help.
Hmm. Tom?
What problem does Navitas solve?
For business-wise?
Yeah.
We are coming from technology background. Our focus is on the emerging technology. We do a lot of cyber and cloud initiatives. We do data analytics, mostly IT modernization work.
I was just taken by your connection to the teacher, and it sounded like you were impressed with the journey of coming from Australia to your community and solving a problem there as a leader.
About all people. Siri, what's the website address for Navitas Business?
It's navitastech.com. It's NAVITAS TECH.com.
We've been speaking with Tarini Barretti, founder and CEO of Novitas House Business Consulting, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This, found right here Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. Join us as we break down the financial world, things that truly matter to you, things that you should consider. You can find out more at our website at yourlifeafterwork.com. But join us Sunday morning, grab a cup of coffee, and let's break down the five critical elements, the things that can really change your financial life. Numbers 800-928-4001, yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll see you Sunday morning.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Bob Schneider, Executive Director of an organization known as OmniRide. What is OmniRide, Bob?
We're a mass transit provider in the Prince William County area.
All righty. And how large or how small is this organization?
About 250 people.
About 250 people. And your role is the Executive Director. Where are you from originally?
Grew up in Melbourne, Florida.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
None. I'm an only child.
You're an only child. All right. What makes an only child special?
I think you have to grow up fast. You're one of the adults. There's two adults having adult conversations, and when you look in that back seat to talk to someone else, there's no one there. So you're playing in the adult conversation, it changes the dynamic.
So give me an example of how being an only child with two parents and the conversation, how'd that affect you? What are you talking about?
1980s, you're talking about the Cold War, you're talking about political issues, my dad was a small business owner, growing his business, so he's having conversations about contracts and development and how this works and how that works, and you're sitting in the back seat absorbing it all, and so you ask questions, and sometimes you get told, shut up, it's none of your business, but most of the time, my parents were pretty smart about it and included me, and I was, one of the adults at the table a lot of times.
How do you think that's affecting you nowadays?
It's helped me because although I do respect authority, power, influence, I'm not intimidated by it. I have no issues going in with a group of strong and smart people, and I don't mind being also the dumbest one at the table either.
Wow. So you're comfortable. You developed a lot of confidence as an only child with your parents, and that aids you in your business relationships nowadays because you're dealing with some strong personalities, and you're interested in their opinions. But you're able to help move things forward. Tom, what are you thinking?
Mass transit. What's the biggest challenge you deal with?
Biggest challenge is right now it's the fact that it's a $1 billion industry about cars, and if we spend $100,000 advertising mass transit, we're looked at as, are we wasting tax dollars? We're competing against the automobile industry, yet the entire ridership force that we have wants more of it. So it's kind of a tough dichotomy there.
And did you get into this world due to what goes on in Melbourne, Florida, by the way? Where is Melbourne, Florida?
It's straight down I-95, just south of where they launched the space shuttle.
So why aren't you working at a space shuttle transportation in Prince William County for OmniRide?
I love the social sciences, and all of my friends are engineers, scientists. One's literally a former rocket scientist, but that's what interested them. For me, it was all about the history of or...
But isn't it just moving people down the street?
It's way more than that. It's federal grants, state and local politics. My entire board of directors is made up elected officials, so they're decision makers, and they're very involved in their communities. So it's really about integrating an organization in a fabric of a society versus...
With a lot of stakeholders.
A lot of stakeholders.
And so your ability to balance all this, when you were a kid in the car with your parents, what did your parents do? Are they so inquisitive that you had this deep knowledge, your reservoir? Of wanting to know about all these different disciplines in the world. What did your parents do?
Mom was a school teacher. I think where I got it from is she went back to college when I was in between first and second grade.
Yeah.
So I was reading, thumbing through the books that she was studying to get her degree to become a teacher. So I was very exposed very early on to a lot of high-level thinking. And Dad was a flooring installer but trying to open his own business. And he's still a small business owner today, but it was that he's got to do the work. He's got to sweep the floor. He would sell the job to a customer and then go install it in their house.
And so who's a bigger influence, do you think, on your day-to-day management style, your mom or your dad?
My mom. She was just a thinker. She became middle school and elementary school guidance counselor, mm-hmm. vice principal, really involved in student life and shaping a community that way.
And then with all of these disciplines, you've got to have a way to maneuver your time management, right? Balancing all of these different things. Where did you get that trait? Is there examples when you were a kid that you could point to where you learned that skill set as well?
I think it's just being involved in a lot of different activities. I was not super involved in sports. I also did music, and I did played soccer, and I was mm-hmm. I learned three or four instruments, and just different things like that just kept me busy and active and engaged.
Ryan, what are you thinking?
Did you read a lot of books as a kid?
Constantly.
And what kind of books did you read?
History, political science. We still got the newspaper every single day, so I would get home and I would read the newspaper.
And so the books you read all sort of have the theme of, again, the social sciences,
yes.
It seems. And is that consistent with all the conversations you said you had with your parents, or at least you were listening to the conversations your parents had with one another?
It was, to a large extent, in that, you know, the 1980s was a different area. You know, I keep mentioning the Cold War, the politics, media, things that were happening on TV, just front and center, and you could go back, and I remember reading a book on Watergate at the time the Iran-Contra affair was on TV. That was my summer between 6th and 7th grade.
And how did your love of the social sciences, history, politics, all that, how did that drive you forward into your career?
It's really all interconnected. You know, government is a reflection of people. People are consistently the same overall. We all have things we love, things we hate, things we want, but we all generally want to make a difference. And so you've got these bigger interconnected systems that if you can understand them and you can understand their place and time, you have a better understanding of where you're going to be as a leader and where you can take your organization.
John? Yeah, Bob, how young were you when you realized everything was connected? What happened then?
Probably 5th grade, the space shuttle exploded. And that's January 1986. I think it was the 28th or 27th of. Mm-hmm. I was in 5th grade, standing in the parking lot in front of Port Malabar Elementary School in Mrs. Bybee's class, and it was a big deal because Krista McAuliffe was the first teacher, and she was on that shuttle and it exploded, and that was our community. My friends, parents were engineers. Kennedy Space Center was 30, 40 miles away. It had a big impact on our economy, our culture.
What was the impact on you?
Yeah,
it made me understand that, okay, this is a national program. It's science, it's space, but it affected friends' parents lost their jobs and moved away. The business slowed down for my dad installing floors. It had effect. We grounded the space shuttle.
All that stuff, I understand that you realize that there's ripple effects of everything. How's that affecting your building this organization known as OmniRide?
We're a transit provider, so we're, in a sense, we're connecting people, we're connecting lives. So if we transport you up the street, we're taking you to work, you're going to earn your paycheck, and we're going to bring you home to your family.
Boy, oh boy, this thing about connection is it's who you are. Who's got the next question?
Is there a philosophy here that there is a elegant, perfect solution to something in your workplace, or is the answer that the chaos that you saw that had a lasting impact in 1986, that things just need to be pushed further into a better place? What's the operating guide and principle here?
It's this concept called sense making. Everyone that in my organization had their own experience. If you brought everyone and asked them these questions, they're all going to have a different answer, and they'll see the same thing a different way. So if you can try to find that middle understanding of, hey, what drives you? What drives you to be great? What drives you to make an impact? Then you can actually pull people beyond what they thought they learned in college or what they thought they learned from life experiences, and it puts purpose behind what they do. When you work at a public organization, there's a higher calling sense to it, even if it's from the private sector supporting your government, your country, your local politics and community. It drives you beyond just what you went to school to study.
It sounds to me like Bob Schneider, executive director of OmniRide, said, as opposed to being a transportation genius, it sounds to me you're like a genius with people and understanding how people work together.
I wish I could say that, the genius part at least. It's just more a sense of understanding that it's bigger than the individual, and it's, in a sense, it's bigger than the organization. It's about the community as a whole and what it's looking for and what the people that lead it want and what are the expectations they have of the organizations that serve it.
Well, how long have you been in your gig? How long have you been doing this?
This organization, 18 months.
You're really built for this job. I mean, it's like the mission of it is your mission, isn't it? It's connecting everything.
I think so, and that's one of the things I love about what I do is we do it all for everyone if they'll let us. We can get you to work. We can get you to play. Your car doesn't love you. We do. And Ford wants to sell you the car in 5 years. I want to keep you as a customer for life because I know that culturally we can impact your community. When Ford no longer sells that car, they just want to sell you the next car. And I get to work with great people like WMATA and VRE and Fairfax Connector. We're not competing for customers. We're sharing customers. We're working together. Ford and Subaru are fighting over each other right now. We're all working to build something bigger and better, and they got a multi-billion dollar industry. We're just some folks that try to get together and make our communities better.
So you find this gig as the executive director of OmniRide meaningful, don't you?
Genuinely.
Uh-huh. And I guess the good thing about being the executive director is, you know, you can go in at 10 or 11 o'clock and leave at 2 or 3 and have a long lunch, right?
Right. No, of course not.
So you put in long hours on this, too, I bet, don't you?
I do. There's a lot more evenings. This is in this area you spend your evenings out. But I still have two daughters that are very important to me, and you know, my wife's a school teacher, so trying to balance all those things, and I don't want to be that guy who's in at 6 in the morning. And
What's the similarity between being a dad and being the executive director of OmniRide?
People trust you. They put their faith in you. They expect you to be there when they need you, which can be difficult because everyone does. They want you to fill that role, and sometimes you can let them down. You know, it's just part of human nature. But it's having the willingness to understand maybe when you did reflect differently, and you know, try to come back.
What's the website address of OmniRide?
OmniRide.com. OmniRide.com.
We would speak with Bob Schneider, executive director of OmniRide, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Oh, nice.
Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Attention investors, respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market, as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself. But come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Constance Chatfield Taylor, who's the president of Flying Colors Broadcast. Constance, what is Flying Colors Broadcasts?
Flying Colors Broadcast is a communications company based downtown Washington. We combine satellite, webcast, social media, and content to engage audiences.
Cool. Where are you from originally?
From a tiny town called Lincoln, Virginia.
And what's special about Lincoln, Virginia?
It's a very small Quaker community, and it's about an hour west of Washington.
Uh-huh. All right. And how'd you feel growing up in that community? I mean, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm the youngest of six.
Mm-hmm. And how'd you feel growing up in that community, youngest of six?
It was good. It was a close-knit, helpful community. You always felt a sort of a part of things.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Michael, what do you got?
Earlier in the green room, you mentioned that your father left around the age of five. What impact did that have on you?
It created a total sense of independence and almost survival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What are you talking about there?
Well, we didn't have any money, so you had to kind of make it.
So what'd that do to you?
Made me figure out how to start different businesses.
Uh-huh. All right. Shirley, your turn.
How young were you when you first started playing team sports at school?
I was pre-Title IX. We did not have, there were no sports for women in public schools.
So what did you end up doing in your spare time?
I grew up riding and then teaching riding so I could pay for college. I would put together teams to compete with private schools.
So in order to make money, let's see, you weren't able to play team sports because they didn't have girls team sports at that point in time. That's unbelievable nowadays. And so you ended up riding horses, and then you ended up turning that into a business, huh, because you needed money.
Correct. Everybody else was babysitting, and I didn't know how to do that.
Uh-huh. So you do know how to create opportunities for yourself, and you created it out of riding. How interesting. Michael had a question, but I'm going to steal his question. Please forgive me, Michael. How did you get involved into this world of communications? And it sounds like one thing leads to the other for you.
Very much so. My brother's friend built me a dark room in an abandoned milk house. And from that moment, I basically kind of knew what I was going to be interested in. And that led to later, it led to being a photographer at college, on the newspaper, and then into the satellite business, oddly enough.
So it's interesting. So one thing really does lead to another with you.
Absolutely.
For example, you needed money and there were no girls sports. You started riding horses and you started a business out of it. The same thing with going from photography to satellites.
Correct.
Interesting. Mark, what do you got?
So you said you grew up on a farm?
Yes.
And people on farms fix things?
Yes.
Is that kind of what you see business as, is fixing things?
Yeah, coming up with solutions. And my favorite thing is someone comes to me with a communications issue, and we come up with creative ways to solve that issue by using different technologies. So basically organizing a number of different things with effective content to get the messages to the right people. There's nothing better than someone coming to us with something like that.
So engineering, growing up when you did, is not a common occupation.
No.
How did you arrive there, and how do you thrive there?
When I first got into the broadcast business, I worked for an airline doing industrial video production, and then I went into a professional international news situation where I basically coordinated all the feeds for the BBC out of Washington, D.C., and learned the satellite business in a regulated environment. When it became deregulated, I started my own company.
Mm-hmm. So running your own business, what's the best part of it?
I think being able to organize effectively teams and the correct tools to get the job done, which varies according to every communications.
So is your strength more the technology or the team?
I think it's understanding what the engineers can do, what the camera people can do, what their specialties are, pulling together an effective team and the right tools, which has been sort of my life history. You have to have the right tools and the right people with the right talents to get to the common goal.
Give us an idea of how early that started. What are you talking about?
Pretty early. I mean, when I started teaching riding, I knew I couldn't do 65 kids and 25 horses on my own, and I pulled together local kids that would help me to be able to teach that many people.
And how young were you when you were doing this, when you were organizing the other kids to help you teach?
Oh, I started really teaching at 11.
And how young were you when you were organizing the other kids to help you teach?
When I realized that it was a lot of work and I needed to be efficient.
How old were you?
Probably 13 at that point.
That's a little odd, 13 years old to go organize the other kids so that they can help you teach riding. It's interesting. So you really do have this organizational ability, don't you? Figuring out who people are, where people fit.
Yes, I love that.
Love what? What do you mean?
I like the magic that happens when you have the right equipment and people in place to get to communicate what needs to be communicated effectively to help that organization, whether it's corporate organization or a nonprofit. Mm-hmm.
Michael, what else are you thinking?
You said Lincoln was a really small town. What reputation did you have that you were an entrepreneur? What reputation?
Yeah, what did people think of you back then?
It's a small town. Everybody's doing their own thing. So you really didn't, people didn't say, oh, you're doing X, Y, Z.
Uh-huh.
Now it's a very independent, people were farmers. Yeah, you didn't worry about what the other person was doing.
Uh-huh. And,
independence.
Independence, huh? And this organization, it sounds to me like you like collaboration. You like working with people, don't you?
Absolutely, especially internationally, and understanding that engineers in all parts of the world, even if there's a language barrier, you can figure out how to work with them. We all understand the same drawings and symbols, and the language barrier really doesn't get in the way when you can write it down and pass it around the table. And
that's pretty
understand.
Cool. You're working with people all around different parts of the world, and regarding different kinds of engineering problems, and you understand the engineering problems and the people. It's like you're pretty special at what you do. What's the website address of this organization?
FC-TV.com.
Let me have that again.
FC-TV.com.
FC-TV.com. We've been speaking with Constance Chatfield Taylor, president of Flying Colors Broadcast here on Executive Leaders Radio. We've also had the opportunity of speaking with Lisa Firestone, president and CEO of Managed Care Advisors, Kathy Anderson, president and CEO of Goodwin House Incorporated, Jay Calleth, CEO and founder of Allied Mission Group, and again, most recently, Constance Chatfield Taylor, president of Flying Colors Broadcasts. I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, Association for Enterprise Growth, Michael Lassiter, Seville Studley, and Shirley Mowry Hertzbach for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hopefully providing our listeners a entertaining and educational show. Let's do some quick websites here. What's the website address for Managed Care Advisors?
It's mcacares.com.
For Flying Colors Broadcasts?
fc-tv.com.
Goodwin House?
goodwinhouse.org.
And Allied Mission Group?
alliedmission.com.
Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. We did it. That's nice.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.